Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, the Lister team recognizes Heart Health Month. Let's listen in as Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt and special guests Lieutenant Colonel William Wilson and Dr. Gwen Gatlin discuss strategies to maintain a heart-healthy lifestyle.
Well, hello, Fort Novosel. This is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic, and your host for the Lister Health Talks podcast. Welcome to the next episode in our series, and I just want to thank you for listening in. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to some other ones. We make content to make sure that it stands the test of time. So if you go back and listen to our first podcast, you might learn some new stuff about our staff, a little bit deeper, I should say, than maybe just knowing what their duties are here. A lot of folks have a bigger history there. You might go into a later episode that talks about, you know, breast cancer awareness and women's health in that regard. Or you might just even hit up our January episode where we talk about New Year's resolutions, the fabled term, right? One, something that we're all trying to keep, especially by this time. We've determined whether or not we've kept it or not. But, hey, we have some fun practices and things to think about in that last episode that we want to dig into. Hey, today I'm really excited about our content. I think we're going to be talking about a really very important topic. It's appropriate for the month. This month is the American Heart Month. You know, heart disease is the leading cause of death across Americans. And so it's something that we want to talk about a little bit. Hey, you might have less risk, but it doesn't necessarily make all of us immune. So we want to dig into that. Hey, our guests today, I'm very excited about two new guests that we haven't had before. Lieutenant Colonel Bill Wilson, a doctor by trade, but also our primary care chief. I want to welcome you to the show. And then Dr. Gwen Gatlin, our chief nurse as well for primary care. I'm sure many of our listeners may have seen you in the hallways or even had an appointment with you, but we're really glad to have you on the show. So thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Yep, very, very glad to be here. Thank you.
Hey, we're going to dig into it. We're going to talk about heart health a little bit. It's something that particularly some of our younger listeners may be like, hey, that's few and far. That's far away. I don't need to worry about that. An older type of situation, but you know, not necessarily. And it's definitely a good time as any time to really dig into that. So we want to talk a little bit about that. Before I get there, I'd like to hear a little bit about what your background is a little bit. What brought you to us? So Lieutenant Colonel Wilson, we'll start with you. You know, talk to us a little bit about your role here, as well as why'd you become a doctor?
Hello everyone. I'm a Lieutenant Colonel Bill Wilson. I'm a family physician by training. I'm board certified in family medicine. I trained up at Fort Benning, now Fort Moore, for my residency. For me, the decision was pretty easy. My dad was a physician. He was an eye surgeon, also in the Army. And as I kind of, had to decide what I wanted to do when I grew up, I sort of cleaved to medicine. It's a great profession in many ways. You get to meet people with real problems, help them solve them, and arrive at discrete, distinct solutions, and really, really do good and do well by people.
It's something that you would assume as a patient, but to hear it come out of the mouth of the doctor to hear that sincere approach and the sincere motives is really warming. Dr. Gatlin, how about you? I know that your favorite service of all the military services is the Army. So over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, that's an incorrect statement. The Navy is my favorite service. I was in the Navy for 26 years, born and raised in this area, and joined and actually stayed away the entire time. I came back a few years ago to help care for my mom, and the why for me becoming a nurse, part of it stemmed out of I was enlisted and the rating that I was in was disappearing. It was going away and I had to look for something else to do if I wanted to stay in the Navy. Mm. And so that's why I became a nurse initially, but I immediately fell in love with it. And there's just nothing better than forming relationships with patients and bonding with them, and especially in their time of need, when you know they're not happy, you know they don't feel well, and you just want to do what you can to make them feel better, help them through whatever crisis that they're in, and I love that. So it's a great feeling. You don't have to have anybody pat you on the back at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's fun to hear, and it's one of the benefits of working in this facility, really in healthcare, is you know that folks have not only joined the service and service to nation, but service to others, and it's really nice to hear that motivation come out in a sincere way. So great. Well, at the expense of using a nautical pun, let's set sail on the rest of this content.
Love it.
The team has to endure a lot of my nautical puns day to day. Dr. Wilson, if you could talk to me a little bit about what's happening in the body, maybe by the time that we get a heart disease diagnosis, but also maybe leading up to that, what's really going on with us?
Well, sure. So I'll just mention the biggest risk factor for heart disease, and by that we mean atherosclerotic heart disease, or coronary artery disease is the other name for it. The biggest risk factor for that is age. There are other non-modifiable risk factors: your race, your sex, to some degree your body habitus or the shape of your body, how much you weigh, and then just sort of the more vague question of just your overall genetics, some of which kind of can't be known. But the changes that happen to the heart when that disease sets in, and again, it sets in over the course of your life. So, you and I are both in our mid-40s, or I guess I'm in my mid-40s, you're a little younger. But
not by much, but yeah.
By the time you're 40, you probably have some changes. Yeah. So the blood vessels of a 40-year-old are going to be different from the blood vessels of a 20-year-old, and will certainly be different from the blood vessels of a 60 or an 80-year-old. But the heart essentially...
Why you got to bring up a 60-year-old?
That's right. And to my knowledge, being in the Navy is not an independent risk factor.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee that. But what happens essentially is the blood vessels with age simply change. The deposits of atherosclerotic plaque, which is basically cholesterol, which you can kind of think of it as forming plaques sticking to the side of your blood vessel walls, they just accrue over age. And so the heart, instead of getting X amount of blood, get something less than that, it's hard to quantify exactly. We really talk about the degree of occlusion, which is to say the degree of narrowing in the blood vessels themselves. But over time, you're at risk for some of that plaque breaking off, floating downstream a couple of centimeters and causing a heart attack, where it completely blocks off the heart, the blood flow to the heart. And that's a heart attack or an MI, a myocardial infarction. But then there's also the more vague changes that happen to the heart just from chronic, long-standing, not quite getting enough blood to the tissue of the heart, the myocardium, the actual muscle. And that's more, we say, nonspecific. It can kind of do a bunch of different things. People can get heart failure, which is where the heart just doesn't pump as well as it should. You can get electrical disturbances where there's arrhythmias and you get a racing heart, or you get a heart that stops following the normal electrical, dub dub. That's supposed to be a regular thing that's set and really lasts, of course, your whole life.
Yeah.
That itself can be disrupted, and so there's just multiple things along those lines. But just to sort of summarize, number one, when you have heart disease, you're at risk of heart attack. And then number two, there's just those chronic changes from the heart not quite getting enough blood.
Yeah, yeah. That's there's only one, right?
Only one, that's right. That is an accurate statement.
That's fine. I want to...
No backup.
Yeah, there's no...
Although I've heard reports of people having no heart.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It ends and begins with a commander, I'm sure, but... Hey, I want to come back to, you mentioned risk factors, and I'm interested to hear a little bit more about that. But before I get to that, I want to turn to Dr. Gatlin. Now, what am I looking for in terms of, we've got risk factors, but, what are the things, telltale signs? Everybody has the understanding of like heart attack, but let's just kind of go over that for our listeners to make sure that they're aware.
Okay, so for signs of having heart problems or a potential heart attack. Probably the biggest one that everyone thinks of is the chest pain or chest pressure that you feel. It can also be pain in the neck or in the arm or even in your upper back or your upper abdomen.
Yeah.
So nausea, vomiting, sweating, all of those things are reasons that you want to consider calling 911 if if you're having all of those symptoms, and also if you know that you have other risk factors, which we're going to go into, but those are definitely the symptoms that you want to keep in the top of your mind, and don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call 911, because we'd much rather you get to the ER and there not be an issue than be home and then be too late when you do decide that you have an issue.
Let's talk a little bit about what those risks are, and appreciate back and forth, but we'll start with Dr. Wilson. What do you see, you know, some of those risk factors? I remember you mentioned modifiable versus non-modifiable, so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that really is how we think about heart disease and what we call ASCVD, or atherosclerotic disease risk in general. And so we kind of lump strokes and heart attacks both as sequelae or things that can happen from these processes.
Yeah.
But no, the stuff that you can't control is pretty straightforward. You can't control how old you are. You can't control what your race is. You can't control your sex. But the stuff that you can control is your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And you can do that, you know, both with lifestyle measures as well as sometimes with medication.
Yeah.
You can control how much cholesterol you have in your blood. And in general, less is better. Although there is good cholesterol, HDL, the high density lipoproteins, which is the quote unquote good cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And you can control a couple of other things: your weight, and then probably, again, it's a little bit more nebulous, but just the health of your heart overall.
Mm.
You know, Lance Armstrong probably has a heart half the size of a bowling ball, and it only needs to beat about 35 or 40 times per second because it's a big, strong, muscular heart.
Yeah.
You know, a heart like that, if it has a 10% decrement because of a heart attack, it's still pretty big and pretty strong. It can pump a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a much smaller, less conditioned heart, you know, the normal human heart is about the size of your fist inside your chest. But a heart which is never exercised, which doesn't spend any time at an elevated heart rate when you're doing cardiovascular exercise, is just not going to be as big, as strong, or as able to take an insult.
Dr. Gatlin, I'll turn it over to you. I think, you know, this area, we'll just call it what it is, in Alabama, lovely place, really good food, but some of our things that we have going on here really aren't helping to support good heart health. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this area does have great food, of course. But we do use a lot of salt down here, and we have a lot of fried foods, and both of those weigh heavily on our blood pressure as well as on our cholesterol. So that is something that I know that I work with my mom on trying to reduce, and it's difficult because if you've lived like that your whole life, it is difficult to make a change.
Talk to me a little bit about, you know, we did some women's health focused content in a few episodes ago. Is there thoughts regarding women's health and cardiovascular disease and heart health?
There definitely are. For women, if you've gone through, there's a lot of things like we were talking about, things that are modifiable and aren't modifiable. For women, if you had an early onset for your period, if you had early menopause, if you had hypertensive disorders during your pregnancy, all of those things can cause you to be at a much higher risk for cardiovascular disease. And there's nothing you can do about any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you really need to look for as you're young and you're getting older. Did I have these things when I was younger? And is this something that I really need to be watching out for the future for?
Yeah. Dr. Wilson?
I would just say, while you're young, establish good habits. The FDA, I think it's healthyplate.gov, has an illustration of of kind of what a normal healthy plate should look like.
Mm.
You know, it shouldn't be all meat and all potatoes.
Sure.
You know, there should be some fruits in there. There should be some vegetables in there, a modest amount of grains or other starches. But no, I would say, you know, a lot of the stuff we learned from our grandparents is really about right.
Yeah.
Get plenty of sleep. Get exercise, maintain a modest diet, control your weight, you know, and then I would just say, you know, also be aware of how much stress is weighing on you and look for outlets to reduce that, to do things that bring you joy and make you happy. So I think all those things go together. If, as a young person, I would just emphasize that a young person focus on just good habits.
Yeah, that's great. I want to do a plug also for our previous podcast, the January podcast. We talked a lot about holistic health and fitness, or as the Army calls it, H2F. We talked a lot about building those disciplines and building those practices and even sleep. You know, what does sleep look like? And had the team there come in and really talk about it. Hey, we're kind of closing in on time, but I do want to touch on two other things. The first, and Dr. Wilson, you can help me out with this, is when do I need to seek care?
You need to know at baseline what your risk is. Mm. If you're older, and you know, where we define that is hard to say, but the older you are, probably the more you need to be concerned if you have chest pain, if you have shortness of breath. Mm. But I would say really anybody experiencing chest pain should seek medical attention.
Sure.
There is a spectrum of risk, you know. I mean, in general, an 18-year-old with some mild upper abdominal or chest pressure is simply unlikely to be having a massive heart attack.
Right.
But that's not true of a 65-year-old with diabetes and high cholesterol and high blood pressure with a strong family history.
Yeah.
So I would say in general, chest pain, shortness of breath, those in general, you should seek care.
Yeah.
Really according to where you fall on that risk spectrum. But we generally urge people to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, see your doctor.
You know, we had talked previously that sometimes, and I'm guilty of it too, yes, you go to see a doctor or a provider or some, you know, whoever your PCM is. And for whatever reasons are motivating you, might be ego, might be fear, might be that you could put at risk the rest of your career, where our health care and our health readiness is a very important topic. And the heart is nothing to mess around with. It's nothing to like. You can grow out of it, but if you've got bad choices and bad discipline, bad habits, really, I guess is the best way to say that, it's not going to help. So, you know, be forthcoming, be honest, and be comprehensive. You know, talking about different populations, Dr. Gallin, I'm going to come over to you for really quick. I'm thinking about our population here, and one of them here at Fort Novosel, we have a lot of new soldiers. Or maybe it's their second, it's their second chapter, but they're still early in their career. And with that also comes new families. And so sometimes I've encountered family members, usually the spouses, not the kids, but usually the spouses that are trying to figure out this military health system thing and what to do. And so could you kind of help me understand, or help our listeners understand a little bit about, hey, if I do have that chest pain or I do have an emergency, you know, it's obviously emergency room, but what am I really thinking through? What's my algorithm, or am I waiting for sick call the next day?
Yeah, definitely. If you're having chest pain and you like the risk factors that we talked about, if you have some of those risk factors and you know it, and you're having chest pain and you're nauseous and you're vomiting and you're sweating, you really do need to pick up the phone and call 911. Mm-hmm. You don't need your spouse to drive you. You need to call 911. That is the safest thing for you to do. Get that ruled out, and then you can follow up with your PCM and figure out what really is going on if they couldn't find anything in the ER. But if you're having just kind of weird symptoms that don't really kind of make any sense, that's the time to pick up the phone, and you can call the team center, talk to one of the nurses, put a message in with your PCM, make an appointment with your PCM. Our appointments are pretty available mm-hmm. on a regular basis. So make an appointment and come in and see who your PCM is and try to get that figured out. Like you said, be honest with them. Let them know what you've been having. Let them know about your past history, about your family's history, because they need that information to decide what the best course of plan of care for you is for the future. Definitely know that after hours, we have the nurse advice line. We have the doctors on demand. You can always go to the urgent care during their hours, and then there's always the ER as an option.
Based off some information from both the CDC as well as the National Institute for Health, there's approximately one person dies every 33 seconds in America from heart disease. One person every 33 seconds. So important topic. Hey, I want to pass it around for any final thoughts from my guests. I'll start over here with Dr. Wilson. Sir, over to you.
Yeah, you know, I would just say while you're young, develop good habits. Mm-hmm. Good sleep, good nutrition, good exercise, good emotional and spiritual health. Put thought into it. You know, consider the kind of life you want to live over the entirety of your lifespan. And as you get older, mm-hmm. be aware of what the risks are. Mm-hmm. You know, be aware of the just the simple fact that if you live at a high blood pressure for much of your life, you're going to increase your risk of having a heart attack when you get older, or having just heart disease in general. So I would just good habits and spend time just getting to know your risk, so that you can take appropriate action and be prudent.
Yeah, that's great. Start early. I like it. And Dr. Gatlin, how about you? Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, if you have any concerns at all, any questions, call us. That's what we're here for, and we're going to be happy to answer your questions. We'll be happy to bring you in for an appointment. We're here to support you and your families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that. Hey, and on that, you know, I just want to mention, you probably heard a lot of resources, and some of you may be more familiar with some of those resources than others, but if there was something that you're like, what is that all about? I encourage you to follow our Facebook, and we make sure that we plug in as many of the resources that we've referenced in any podcast in a lot of our posts. But if it's something that you just have a question on today, you know, reach out to us, patient advocate. You could call our appointment line. You can call, you know, your team center, and you name it. We're going to be able to address it and let you know what resources are available for you to get after it. Hey, look, your heart is an important piece, right? We want you, if you're a soldier, to continue to serve and fight for our nation. This will defend, indeed. And if you're a family member, you being there, relevant and healthy for your service member is just as important. If you're one of our soldiers for life or retirees from another service, you know, we want to make sure that you're also having a great quality of life along the way. You know, this is an important topic. I encourage you to have conversations with your family, your friends, but also with yourself to really dig into what does tomorrow look like. And as always, your healthiest chapter is ahead. And the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic's Public Affairs Office at Fort Knowsel. Join us next month as a team takes a bite at a Nutrition Health Month as they discuss healthy eating habits. Stay healthy, Fort Knowsel.